Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Happy Sunday, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, as usual, with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how was your week?
Good. Very good, Jason. How about you? I just got off tour, and I'm really relishing a day off.
Tour? A tour where?
I was at a festival, and so it was great. I don't know if you were on my Facebook page, but I was doing a lot of readings, and it was very touching when I do readings. I normally don't cry, but this gal that came to me, we're talking about the unseen forces coming through and playing out, orchestrating healing and comfort and things. This gal came to me, and she read, I think, 2.5 hours on a bus ride. And it was a very, very emotional reading. It was awesome. You're talking about people getting people together and thinking and circumstances playing its part to be able to help bring some comfort and healing to one's soul. It was amazing.
Well, that's good. It sounds a lot more interesting than my week. I just work as usual.
Oh,
about it.
Oh, I love my work, Jason. It's great. I've been very, very blessed in just being able to do the Chinese medicine and do the psychic and the mediumship, and it's been a very big blessing. And I thank not only God, but I thank my ancestors for helping me in this work. So. Hey, quickly, have you heard of the thing, I don't know, have you heard on this Facebook feed? It was about the U.S. Sergeant Clifford Stone. He says that there are 57 alien races confirmed. What do you think about that, Jason?
I saw the posting. I did not watch the video. Anything that's circulating on Facebook, I don't really pay much attention to. I'm skeptical. Like, how are we confirming that there's 57 species? I understand they're saying that they probably worked for a secret government program and all that, and that's what they learned, but I just don't believe it. But I don't know. I need to watch. I'm ill-informed. I need to watch the video and get an opinion, but just on the surface, I would be highly skeptical.
I do believe that there are different alien races, and I do believe that there are other, life forces beyond what we can see, hear, feel, or touch. But having 57, I'm on the fence about that. Maybe there is, I don't know, maybe they're in scientific evidence. I have no idea. Or this person, whether they got it from, secret military government, I have no idea. But, again, we need to weigh out both pros and cons, and it's our own individuality where we can see whether we believe or is it possible.
I'm sure there's 57 species of aliens out in the universe. I wouldn't doubt that, but the fact that we're aware of them and or are communicating with them in some way, I would be skeptical. You know me, I'm a big alien believer, but that just seems like a pretty random number to me. So I will go back. I will go back and I will actually watch the video and see if these people can convince me otherwise.
Yeah, check out the video. I think the video is so old, I don't think they could have made it up. But there may be some truth, there may be not some truth. I have no idea.
Maybe not.
And like I said, when I tell people, you know, what you or I or even Maria posted on our site, it's just for entertainment purposes. And that doesn't mean it's written in concrete. Use your own imagination. Use your own belief. Share them. It's no big deal. It's not neither right or wrong. But, you know, it's something to read and just to give us something that it's like a seed. It's something to think about, whether it's cryptozoology, whether it's what do you call those, crop circles or aliens or anything like that. I do believe that they do exist, but, you know, I'm just not one to say, yes, they are, in a scientific way. So, but tonight we have a very special guest, very first-time guest. I met her probably about 4 years ago. She can probably correct me on this. I did meet her about 4 years ago. We were at a ghost conference together, and she's a very nice, delightful lady. Yes, a lot of she knows her stuff. She's got a lot of internal power, I can see, and I've been very fortunate to ask her to be our guest. Her name is June Lundgren. She is a demon seer. So when people say, what is a demon seer? Well, she may can classify this, but some people may say, oh, she's a demonologist. She's had the gift. She's been, she died twice. And she works with the Archangel Michael to help her with places that can be haunted or have demons and dark entities. So tonight we're going to talk about ghosts, hauntings, and demons. And, she'll give us our listeners information and more about that kind of things that we may encounter and educate us. Okay?
Awesome. We'll get her on right now.
All right.
June, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hi, June.
Hi, Sherry.
So I'm glad you're able to come on our show for the very first time. And yes, I know that you have had special gifts that you were given long, long time ago. And I know that after reading your bio that, you know, you've inherited the gift. And also after having died twice, it's also helped you amplify your gifts. Is that so?
Yeah, I come from a long line of women with gifts. I've traced them back to the 1600s as far as I can anyway. But it's only the women in our family that have the gifts that are handed down. Each one has a little bit different gift than the other.
Isn't that something? And I don't know about you, June, but with me, I feel like my ancestors are with me also. And they really do. They aid in not only healing, but they also aid in what you do as a psychic medium. Is that correct?
Yes, my great-grandmother and my sister are both a couple of my guardians. And Michael the Archangel is always with me. So it's just
cool.
One big group.
So really quickly, can you explain what are demons? Are demons, I personally know what they are, but just for our audience, we were trying to educate them. What are demons? Are they negative entities? Are they, you know, what are demons? Are they jinns? Just explain what demons are.
A demon is a demonic entity. It's something that's negative. It's something that has never held human form and cannot hold human form. It cannot be born into the world. You know, the only way it can make its presence known is by, you know, somebody seeing it, somebody experiencing it, or, you know, possession or demonic possession and influence and oppression, things like that. It's that when you have a demon present or one of them attached to you, your life just goes to hell in a handbasket. You're financially, spiritually, mentally, health-wise, they prey on all these things. They like to alienate you and isolate you.
How
so
does somebody
can you
know?
Get a demon any place? I mean, could it be anywhere, whether it's a hospital, it could be being with the wrong person or accidentally being with somebody and they can attach to somebody?
Yeah, it can be, you know, a lot of paranormal investigators go into places. And, you know, being a paranormal investigator, I can tell you that not everything that you run into is nice. Most of the time, yes. I mean, I would say about 90% of the time you just get regular souls, spirits that are white light spirits, or you'll get, every now and then you'll get a earthbound negative, but they were only negative in their lifetime, and they're still negative in death, and they're much easier to get rid of than a demonic is. But you can get them simply by being in the wrong place at the wrong time, or, you know, passing through an area, or, you know, wandering in somewhere where you weren't supposed to be, and you have the attachment.
Do you find that negative places like hospitals or bars or maybe cemeteries are more prevalent to catch, I mean, to be able to confront, not confront, but actually be exposed to a demon?
Not really. I'm a nurse, so I've worked in hospitals all my life, and I've never encountered one in a hospital setting. Graveyard, once or twice. You know, they're usually more prevalent in areas like people like mentalist institutions. They're drawn to that. They're drawn to people with substance abuse issues, people with mental health issues, or just being, like I said, in the wrong place at the wrong time. There was one I encountered recently that was in Golden, Oregon, and it's a ghost town that was, you know, that's been owned now by the park system. And we went on our trip to Alcatraz, and my friend and I, and it was in the chapel there. And I removed it, but, you know, that's odd place for it to be. People think, well, it can't go in a church, you know, it can't go on hollow ground, but that's not true. I wish it was, but it's not true.
That's crazy. Wow.
I'm glad to hear that you didn't encounter any demons in hospitals, because I work in a hospital, so... So my question is how does somebody differentiate between, you know, having depression or having lots of bad luck with demonic oppression versus it just being, you know, life circumstances? Are there things to look out for to where somebody can say, hey, maybe there's some demonic involvement?
Yeah, there's, you know, a lot of people think, I've had people say, well, you know, I just think I had a case out of Vegas. And when I was down there, and she said, all my life I've had this black cloud hanging over me. You know, everything and everyone that I'm around and I touch seems to have something bad happen to them. She was the only survivor out of a car accident where her mother and father were killed, and she was in the back seat and survived. And she says, my whole life has been like that. And she was like 62 years old when I met her. And I said, well, you know, I can see what's standing outside waiting for you. I said it's a demon out there. It's what I call a lesser demon. And she says, you know, I've always wondered about that because everything, you know, leads to where I'm being isolated. I'm being, you know, kept away from the people that care about me, my friends. I have nobody left. And, I told her, I said, that's easy enough to fix just by removing it. I said, but that's the reason all your life you've had that, because when you died, she also died in the car accident but was revived. I said, you brought this back with you. I said, that's the reason you have it. And once it was gone from her, then her life completely changed. And I still hear from her today. And that was years ago, and she's just having a wonderful life now.
So I have a question, June. Can a person, you know, like you or somebody that's trained, can they come in and take the demon off in one shot? Or does it take multiple times? Or sometimes, no matter what, it cannot be removed? Whatever, maybe karmic, past life, whatever. What's your answer to that?
Well, when I go in and do a removal, it's removed the first time in one shot. It doesn't take me 10,000 years to do it or you know, but I can see what's there before I even talk to the person. If I get an email or a picture, I can see what's there. I can tell how many are there. And the problem with that is once you remove them, that's no big deal. Once they're removed, if you don't get rid of the negative energy that this thing has left within you from being attached to you, you'll attract others. So I always make sure that I do a white light cleansing on the individual. But most people, like your people that are trained in the Catholic Church, the priests, it takes more than just one shot. And I asked Michael about that. I said, well, how can they possibly take so long to remove a negative when I can do it in a matter of minutes? And he said, it's because they doubt. If you have any kind of doubt in yourself, in what you're doing, I mean, your faith can be as strong as, you know, the Rock of Gibraltar. But if you have doubt within yourself, you know, about yourself or about being able to do this, you're going to fail. It's going to take you time and time again, months, you know, weeks to do it, you know, if you're ever able to. You can't have any doubt of, you know, doubt in God, doubt in yourself, doubt in what you're doing, because if you do, you're going to fail every time. It's a no-brainer, you know, you can't. I don't have any doubt in what I can do, and therefore I'm successful at doing it. It helps that when I died in a motorcycle in accident in 1988, it was revealed to me that my soul belongs to Ariel, the archangel. Her name means Lion of God. She's one of the five that guarded the throne of God. And she was sent back to relive human lives because she forgot how to have compassion for mankind. And I've always known all my life where the negatives were and what they were. But I'd never even thought about removing them until after that, when Michael told me, you know, you need to start doing this. This is what you're meant to do. You've done it in all your lifetimes. You need to continue to serve God and do this. And so I'm like, yeah, how do you do it? And he's like, I'll merge your consciousness, your human consciousness, with your soul consciousness, and therefore you can communicate between, you know, with her. So that was like 20-some years ago, and I'm still going.
Do you feel that other people are capable of doing what you're doing, June?
People can remove demons if they're trained and they have the faith in it. I just do it quicker because of what's inside of me. The problem with people that are demonologists are they don't live very long. It takes a toll on their body, mind, and spirit. Their health suffers. And no matter how strong you are, dealing with these things will, you know, get to you. The only thing that saves me is the angelic energy within me. I don't suffer from any of the problems or a bad health or anything like that. And that's the only reason that, you know, I can do what I do without ramifications.
Yeah, that was kind of my question was it has to be putting you at some sort of, you know, peril. I mean, you can't be very popular with the demonic realm doing that, I would imagine.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not. They don't like me. And, you know, I've done radio shows where I'm be on the show with them and they're like, what was that? I'm like, nothing to worry about. They don't like me talking about them. Don't worry about it. And they'll catch it on the tape and they'll send it to me. And they're like, what? And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's just a demon. They don't like it when I talk about them. So no big deal.
It reminds me of the movie Constantine with Keanu Reeves, where he went around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the demons are. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Have there
he
been
got
any
part of it right, but not all of it?
What part did he get right?
He got the part. It's not. In Constantine, it's like, you know, that it's a game between God and the devil about your life, and we're just peons, and that the good, you know, the angelic beings, like, you know, it was supposed to be Michael in there, can turn bad, but, you know, it doesn't happen that way.
Wow.
Do you believe that
every place is haunted? I mean, we have so many people that have died here. Where did they go? Some of them go to heaven. Some of them linger.
Yeah, most of them will cross without any kind of problems. Every now and then you'll get one that either their death is so traumatic that there's a couple of things. When their death is really traumatic, they get stuck in their death state. That's when you see them as they were at the moment of death, with, you know, blood running down all over and gory. Those are the ones that are stuck in the death state. The other ones stay behind. Some stay behind because they're confused and they're not sure what's going on. The death was so sudden. They're not, you know, they don't know to look for the light to go into it. And others will stay behind just to watch over their family.
What do you think of that, Jason?
I'm so confused about life and death. I really haven't formed any strong opinions on what I think, because everybody thinks so many different things, you know, with religion and the afterlife. And I'm just sitting here like, I have no idea what's going on. So,
well, you know, it's hard because religion is man-made. It wasn't made by God. Man made it to try to put a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it's like God said, you know, I talk to him from time to time when he's not so busy. I'm like, you know, I said, what about religion? He says, I didn't make it. I said, you guys made it. He says, and as for bad luck, he says, 99.9% of the negative energy in the world comes from people. He said, and don't blame me for doing things when I didn't do it. You did it to yourself.
And that's a fact. There is so much negativity out there. But I wanted to ask you, you know, when you're exercising, I'm just curious, you know, when you're getting these attachments off of people, do you ever see any, like, physical manifestations that happen? Is it like we see in the movies? I was wondering if you have any good stories along that.
Some of it is when there was a woman that came to me about 2 years ago, and I told her, I said, send me a picture so I can see what's going on with you. And she sent me the picture, and I'm like, oh my God, there's like 11 attachments. It's like, really? Are you just, you know, what are you doing there? So I have a friend who's a minister, and, you know, I'm going to go take care of this lady, you know, with her issues. I have a para partner I'm training to do. She can remove the smaller negatives. And then I invited him to come. And I said, you really need, you know, this is a test of your faith. I said, you need to come with me in full, you know, priest, you know, minister mode. So he came with me, and they're talking to the woman, and her eyes turned black, just suddenly turned black. And then she spoke in a different voice. And basically, she told me, you know, what the heck are you doing here? You can't do anything to help her. You'll never help her. She's ours and nobody else's. And I'm like, really? I said, I don't think so. And then it turned back to her, but you could still see, I could still see what was inside of her. And so I had her sit down, and I started doing the removals. And we got to the last one, and it was having issues with me. And I told it, I said, you don't belong here. You need to leave. And he says, no, I'll never leave. This is where I need to be. But then I delved into his psyche, and I'm like, oh, you're hiding out. That's what it's all about. You're hiding away from Lucifer. And it's like, he's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm like, yes, you are. I said, if you want to go home, you can certainly go home. You don't have to return to the darkness if you, you know, are willing to change. And I said, I can ask, you know, Jesus if he'll come for you. And the next thing that the two people that are with me are seeing is this image of Jesus and a hand coming out and saying, come with me. And the demonic refused, and then it retracted, and he was gone. And my friends are like, what? And I said, okay, if you won't go with him, then you're going to have to go where you need to go. So Ariel, she is a different, I can't say it, it's like having another person inside of you. So, because she always comes forth and does this stuff. So she says, I summon Lucifer. And both of my friends saw this black shaped, humanoid shaped person coming down the hallway towards them. And it was Lucifer. And he told the demon to come with him. And the demon said he wasn't going to leave the human. Lucifer turned and looked at me and said, that's okay, I'll be back for him tonight. And then walked back down the hallway and disappeared. And my friends told me later they couldn't believe it, you know, because he says, I couldn't look at his, my friend that's the minister said, I couldn't look at his face. It just, I've never been in the presence of such evil or such good at the same time. He said it was just bizarre. Even now he's still trying to wrap his brain around it. And then later, so we all left, and later that night we all woke up at exactly 3 a.m., and I heard Jesus say, it's done. And they all heard a voice say, it's done. So that's not something that you see every day.
No, not at all. What does it mean? You brought up waking up at 3 a.m. I've woken up, consistently I wake up at around that time. Is there significance to that? I know the whole mocking of the Trinity thing and all that. Is that legit?
Yeah,
or
it's kind of like anti-time. You know, it's the exact opposite time when Jesus died on the cross. So it's like, it's the strongest time for negative entities. It's, again, kind of like mocking, you know, God, like, look what I can do. So that's what happens. That's what happened at 3 a.m. for everybody, so at the same time.
So if you wake up at that time, does that mean that there's some sort of demonic influence in your life?
No, it just means it's a stirring in the, I would say that, I don't know. If I was Star Wars, I'd say it's a stirring of the Force. there is kind of a awakening or kind of a fluctuation in it. So that's why you can, it could be a good one, you know, coming to you. It doesn't have to be a bad one. But it seems to be that most of the time that's about when it is, from anywhere from 2 to 4 is the usual time when they're supposed to be the strongest. Although demonics don't need, you know, they'll come out in daylight after you. It don't make no difference to them. They don't care. The thing is, you know, they have a better cloak at nighttime than they do during the day. During the daytime, you can see them coming at you. But nighttime, they have more of a way to disguise themselves.
So would you suggest being mindful, June, for people that are listening, being mindful of who you hang out with and, you know, just being careful, protect yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think the best advice I could give anybody, if they're, you know, like investigating somewhere, or if they're in a building which they have this sick feeling in the pit of their stomach, and they might see something out of the corner of their eye, like a black shadow or something like that, or a shadow person, or a black mass. The best advice I can give you is to not acknowledge it. To acknowledge it is to make it see you. If you don't acknowledge it and you just go on your way, they don't pay attention to you. But the minute you say, what was that I saw? Was that, you know, a demon? Was that a dark shadow? Then they see you. And it's like, you don't want them to see you.
You know, I've seen, and this is just my personal experience, I've noticed when I've done fairs and things where people come in and you could tell they have something wrong. And I,
yep.
You know, pardon me if I'm wrong or right, tell me this, but let's put it this way, I don't acknowledge it, but I know they're there. Kind of like the corner of your eye, you can see it,
yeah.
But you don't go and stare it down and say, I acknowledge you and I'm going to challenge you. I acknowledge that they're there, but I just, like you said, it's like a mind thing. You don't want to confront it, you don't want to deal with it, and you just move your eyes and you just, that kind of thing. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't want to acknowledge it at all. You don't want to acknowledge the fact that, okay, you can say, well, I think you have something attached to you. That's cool. But don't say, I think you have a demonic or a negative attached to you, because then it sees you, and it sees you as a threat.
Okay. That's a good way. That's a very good, very, very good suggestion.
A lot of people, you know, think that a ghost, you know, it can, you know, that if their house is haunted, it's bad, you know, but it's not 99% of the time. But the way to tell the difference between the negative and the positive ones is the negatives. Well, I'll start with positive. Positives, if it's a ghost, you get cold spots, you know, you get sense, you get feelings. If it's a negative, there are no cold spots. The cold comes from within. You feel a kind of a coldness in your core that has nothing to do with the 90-degree temperature outside. I mean, it could be have sweat dripping down you. But if the inside of you, if you feel cold in your core, then that's a negative. You may feel sick to your stomach. You may smell, you know, something putrid. You may see a gathering of insects, dead insects, or dead animals. You know, that's all a part of the negative MO.
Hmm. And those are generally few and far between, right? The negative ones, or are they constantly around us?
No, they're just, it's far and few between. You know, unless you're messing with something, if you're messing with, you know, people say, well, you know, don't use a Ouija board because you're going to get, you know, a negative attachment on it. But a Ouija board, like any other tool for divination, it's how you use it, it's how it's used. If you pray before you use whatever divination method you have and ask for a God's blessing on it, or whoever, Buddha's blessing, whatever, and then you do your communication, and then at the end of it, you say, thank you for allowing me this communication, and I ask that the portal be closed. Because any time you use anything like that, pendulum, scrying, anything, it opens a portal. Even me doing a reading, it opens a portal to the other side. And sometimes bad things come in. So that's why you ask for the blessing before and close the portal at the end. Unfortunately, people don't close the portals. I ran into that with the Shanghai tunnels. I mean, I was called in there because there was something going on. And so I had never been there before. I've lived here for a long time. So I went down, walked through it, saw that there was at least one full-blown demon down there, and didn't acknowledge anything, walked back up, went to their little museum around the corner and talked to Michael, the guy that's in charge of the Geographic Society that maintains it. I said, well, how long have you had the demons down there? I said, you've been being attacked by it, haven't you? And he said, yes. And I said, well, somebody's been doing Ouija board and seances in the back of the tunnel. That's where this thing is coming from. These things are coming from. And he said, yeah, he just found out that somebody was allowing these people to do it on the other side. And so, yeah, I've been down there like 3 times to remove because people just keep doing it because they don't close the portals.
That sounds risky.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't
good.
Want to be down
Very
there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I just take them out. But it's the people that are going through there and having issues. I had a friend of mine, the same guy that I went with, he was doing tours down there. And he said, there's something back again. There's a negative back again. And I was at home. It's like 11 o'clock at night. And he said, it's attacking people. And I'm like, okay. So I can remove them from a distance. So I removed it. And he called me back and said, yeah, it's gone. I can't feel it anymore. Everything's fine now. And I'm like, okay, bye. I'm going to bed.
Just that simple?
Yeah, I was like, okay, whatever. Most of the time, I did a show called Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. And it was a special on me called Demon Seer. And it was a 4-hour thing. And within the first week, I got like 200 emails for help. And it's
wow.
Just crazy. Yeah, it was incredible.
I
can't do them all at once.
While.
Yeah, it took me a couple of months to get everybody done.
We love Clyde Lewis. He's been on our show a couple times. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
So would you suggest in a person who is encountering a ghost, a person who doesn't know anything about getting rid of them or anything, it depends. There's so many different kinds of ghosts. Is that correct, June?
Exactly. There are, you know, different kinds of ghosts. And like I said, you'll run into every now and then your earthbound negatives. They're just people that were nasty in life and they're nasty in death because they still maintain that earthbound technology, the physical world mentality. So they're buttheads in death. So, you know, it's like those are the easy ones to get rid of. You just sage and say, get out of here, man. You know, I'm tired of you. Get rid of you. But the demonics are far and few between. But, you know, every now and then, people run into them. Unfortunately, they're more prevalent than I would like to admit. But, you know, in this mixed up world, the way it is these days, it's, you know, there's a lot of room for negative energy.
And I like the way you said that, sometimes people may have, you know, maybe mental imbalances or drug addictions or alcohol addictions.
Exactly.
And that might attract those demons. Is that correct?
It does. They're looking for weak people. They're looking for people that are already, you know, you have somebody that's already a meth addict and their life is going spiraling down, and these things will attach themselves and live off of the life force of the person and cause them to spin even more out of control. And, you know, in some cases, they make them commit suicide. And, you know, they can kill you. I went, again, with my friend on an investigation, and I knew there was an old demon present. I just didn't know what was going on with it. And I've always been fascinated by the fact that there are some places in the world where, you know, negative things happen 24/7. They'll tell you no one should ever live here because this place is cursed. But it's not really a curse. And this place that I went to was an example of that. And what it was when I got there, I'm like, okay, now I know. Once I connected with the demon, you know, I knew it was upstairs. So I was leading the way upstairs, and my friend was behind me, and his wife came. It tried to shove her down the stairs, and it tried to stop his heart. It squeezed his heart. He thought he was having a heart attack. And I told it, knock it off. And it stopped. And then when I got a hold of it, literally, you know, Michael and Gabe came with me that time, and they were on each side of it, and they had grabbed a hold of it. And I said, why are, because I have no time to talk to these things. They're not worth my time and energy to talk to them. But I wanted to find out why it was here, you know, how it ended up in the ground. And he said that Lucifer had entombed him in the earth for not doing something that he was supposed to do. He was given a task. He failed in the task, and Lucifer was pissed at him, so he entombed him in the ground. That's why you get these areas where there are nothing but problems, bloodshed, things like that. I mean, there's one entombed under Alcatraz, I'll tell you that right now. That's why that place will never be free of demons, because the other demons are attracted to it because of that.
Wow. There's no way to get rid of them, huh?
Oh, yeah. I could jerk him out, but they wouldn't let me take the time to do that when I was down there. I went on a night investigation and in May. Me and my friend went there, and it's like a night investigation. I'm like, really? I could run wild in here. There's a lot of things I could do. I knew that there was one that was living up above in cell block D at number 13 in solitary confinement. And so they said, well, who wants to be locked in here? Me and my friend looked at each other like, we do, we do. So we went inside there and they shut the door. And it was like, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. You know, it was that dark. But then we saw, you know, this, we saw these red eyes come out of the corner. And you could see the black shape. It was blacker than the black. I'm like, really? I don't think so. You need to go.
I've been to Alcatraz a couple times. When I was really, really young, I was a police explorer. And got to go to Alcatraz with a group of 100 FBI agents that had just graduated. And they took us where they don't allow the public, into the catacombs under Alcatraz.
Right.
And what I remember was all this, like, graffiti down there, but, like, cultish kind of thing. This was 30-some years ago. So
yeah.
I don't know. Do they let people down into the catacombs now? They didn't back then.
No, they still don't do that. But, you know, I went to the side where I knew they were, which was down below. The other three that I removed were down in. One of them was in the laundry area down there. And a couple of them were in wandering the hallways down there. And so I removed those off. I went off to the side and removed those away from everybody. So that those three are gone. But like I said, it'll always attract. They'll always attract negatives because of the old demon. Because none of them will help it, because that goes against what Lucifer has to say. So none of them will help the demon that's buried in the bottom of it.
Well, I
know
there's a lot of wacky
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a perfect place for a demon, really, if you stop and think about it. They built the prison there. There's a lot of negative energy, a lot of death, a lot of murders. You know, it's like, why not? You know, it's perfect. It can live off all that negative energy.
You wouldn't catch me there after dark. No way.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any issues.
Well, I watched too many horror movies.
I used to have a fear of the dark. I really did for the longest time. Even when I was a little girl, I always knew I was never alone.
That's the thing.
And,
it's like,
and now I find peace. I find, you know, I know I'm not alone, but I'm at peace, and I have my ancestors, and I have my guardian watching over me. It's a different feeling. It's not like, oh, my God, I don't want to be alone. I'm afraid of, you know, demons or any of that stuff. I know I'm at peace, and I know I'm protected, and I know that I'm with where I need to be. It's a different look,
it is.
Outlook, I think.
It's like I try to tell people, it's like, okay, say you're in your home, in your bedroom. Okay, I see angels all the time. So it's like being in the room filled with wall-to-wall bodies and everybody's talking at the same time. I'm just so used to that, I don't pay no attention to them anymore. It's like having Michael around and the other archangels. I grew up with them. So I'm used to having them around. So I'm never really alone.
Can these angels be in more than one place at one time, helping, you know, say, bunch of people all at the same time?
Sure, because the other side, one of the things I realized, came back with when I came back from death was there's no, it's hard to explain. It's not like you're confined to a wall or confined to a place or there's no buildings. You can be in several places at the same time. A thought becomes reality on the other side. You think, like if you think, oh, I'd like to go to the Bahamas, you're there. Before the Bahama ever gets out of your mind, you're there. If you want to visit six friends at the same time, you can visit them all at the same time. Michael does that all the time. I said, you make me crazy. And he's like, yeah, well, that's the way it is.
Does everybody have a guardian?
Yeah, everybody has a guardian or a guide, whichever you want to call them. Most people have more than one. Very rarely have I come across somebody that has only one. But most of the time it's relatives. Sometimes it can be just other people who have been with you in other lives. They kind of move in circles where, you know, you have people that last time they were your brother, and now they're your husband, and you know, or your teacher or whatever. That's just common. We move in the same circles. And that's why sometimes you'll see somebody and it's like, man, I feel like I've known that person forever, you know. And you have.
We call them soul groups.
Yep. That's what they are.
It's really amazing how each person, we can have many lives previously and come together and, mm-hmm. you know, have a different, different title, whether it's brother, sister, friend, whatever, and be able to have different lessons in this lifetime to learn and to grow and evolve.
Yep.
I wanted to ask your opinion of something. We were talking about the 3 a.m. thing, and something popped into my mind. I've been noticing almost virtually every day, a couple times a day, seeing the number, having to glance over at the clock, and it be 11:11. Is there significance to that?
11 is an angelic number. It's considered very lucky. And I don't know what the complete significance of it is. I just know it's a very lucky, but 7 is a lucky number. It's 7 and 11 are both angelic numbers, and you'll find them quite a lot. Mm. Especially if somebody is, you know, watching over you and trying to, you know, give you a message.
I find 11:11 a lot for me. Definitely.
Yeah.
And a lot of feathers. I'm picking up feathers like crazy.
Yep. Michael likes to leave his feathers around for people, for my friends in England. I just got back from England on Wednesday, and he was like, my friends, I always Skype them, you know, they're like, Michael's been here again. I said, yeah, I know. I said, you found a feather, didn't you? Or the first time I mentored my friend and opened her up so that she could hear Michael. She says, when am I going to hear him? I said, you'll hear him. And a week later, she's like hearing the rustling of him walking through the hallways. And she's like, that was the weirdest thing. And then a couple weeks later, she was woken up by him to see him and Jesus beside him. And
oh,
she said, she says, I tried to wake up my husband. He just snored through it all. I said, well,
wow.
It wasn't meant for him. It wasn't meant for him. It was meant for you.
I would love to. Because
she was having
that.
A lot of doubts. She was having a lot of doubts about, you know, the world itself and angels and stuff like that and God. And I said, well, you know, I said, he answered when it happens. And she's like, oh, my God. She said, it happened last night. I'm like, uh-huh. See, I told you it would happen. It just takes time.
Wow.
When you just mentioned God, you cut out in a really odd way that I've never heard before. So maybe that's a sign.
He likes me talking about him. He doesn't like me telling people, you know, well, she saw us. But, you know, he's there, and he lets people know in his own way that we're there. It's like he tells me, you know, he says, you guys blame me for everything. He says, I don't have to do anything. He says, you guys can do it all yourself. Mess up yourselves without any help from me.
Mm. Are people that are generally bad people that do bad things, is it like the Bible where they go to hell?
No, you have to be pretty darn bad for that to happen. It's a case of, you know, okay, when you're born, certain things are set in stone. The time you come in, the time you leave, and the method in which you leave. If a person has been, like, in all their other lives, have been, like, really nice and everything, and they want to experience the opposite, then, you know, to be a bad person in that lifetime, what we consider a bad person in that lifetime. But you have to be, like, mass murderer or something like that to be sent to hell. You have to be unredeemable. So, you know, well, we know that Hitler went down there, so hey, Rommel and Goering, they all went down there, but, you know, genocide's a little more, you know. He doesn't like that.
So can you tell us, I know you were just on Ghost Adventures with Zach Fagan and Aaron, is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you say a little bit? Can you disclose a little bit what happened? Why were you called for this case?
They did a 4-part special, which will air starting the 6th of October. Mine will be on the 13th. I was called because they were looking for people that had experiences and, you know, investigations and things like that in Astoria. And my group had investigated it back in February. And I removed a demon at that time from the Norblad Hotel. It was down below, but not until, you know, I had been over at the Commodore. I was waiting for them to call us to come to the Norblad to be interviewed. And so we were just walking, you know, it was quite interesting. And when we were there in February, my friend came out of the Norblad before I went down there, said I had to leave, I was attacked by a demon. He said it got a hold of my back and started squeezing, and he was in such pain he couldn't stand it. He had to come upstairs and get out of there. I looked at him, I said, don't worry about it. And I laid hands on him because I was given the gift of the laying on of hands when I was about 30 years ago. And so I said, I'll take care of it. So I went down and removed what was there. And so they heard about it, and that's why they wanted to interview me. And they interviewed my friends first over at the Commodore Hotel. And then they came over and interviewed me, and we did kind of a mini investigation of the hotel and stuff. And I told Zach, I said, we were talking outside, and he says, well, what exactly is a demon seer? I said, it's a person that can see them, hear them, communicate with them, and remove them. I said, that's what I do. And he said, well, does anybody else do anything like that? I said, well, I had a friend one time that wanted to see what I see, and I keep telling people they don't want to see what I see because I see demons in their pure form. And it's stuff of nightmares. It will give you a nightmare. But I'm so used to seeing them, I don't pay no attention anymore. But so Zach decided he wanted to see what I see. I told him, I said, yeah, I said, you don't want to see it. He says, I do. I said, okay, give me your hand. Because first thing he said was, you know, is my crew going to be okay down there? Because he's very concerned for his crew. I said, listen, as long as I'm there, you're not going to have a problem. I said, this thing is contained. The old demon is contained downstairs in the far corner. And then we went down there, and that's when he said, you know, I want to see it. I said, it knows you're here. It came here because it knew you were coming. Oh. And I said, it has a message for you. He says, what's the message? He says, I know who you are, and I can kill you in an instant. I can kill you all in an instant. You need to understand we are real. We're not something to be played with. Of course, that kind of freaked him out a little bit. And so he says, I want to see it. I'm like, okay, hold on to my hand. So I gave him the ability to see what I see, look through my eyes. He says at first it was cool. He said it was there was white light and there was peacefulness. And then it's like a curtain came up, and I saw this thing. And he, at the moment he saw it, he felt an electrical current pass through me to him, and he jerked his hand back. And I asked him how his back was, because these things go for your weakest spot. For him, he has a low back issue, so it attacked his low back. And I told him, I said, you know, we went on with the investigation through the rest of it, and Billy Tully's, like, talking to me this whole time. He's my camera guy, and he's like, what? Can we first got down, and he goes, what is that? I said, oh, the growling? I said, don't worry about it. It's a demon. No problem. He's like, I don't want to hear that again. I said, don't worry about it. You're fine. So we go to the other parts of the hotel in the basement, and we're looking around and stuff. And I said, you know, there is a couple of, you know, little creepy crawly guys running around here, and there's a lesser demon down the hallway. And Aaron goes, I'm going to go down there. So he gets to the opening where this is corded off from, you know, part of it's like an old wooden wall. And he goes through there, and he says, oh, my God, there's something here. You know, there's something here. I'm like, yeah, it's a lesser demon down there. I'm like, yeah, there is. I said, you need to come back this way. So he came back, and we finished doing our thing, and we're at the end, and Billy's, like, got the camera on me, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, my God. I said, what? He said, I have this horrible high-pitched screaming in my left ear. I'm like, oh, that's okay. I said, that's a demon. I said, you people that can't hear them the way I hear them, that's what you hear. He's like, I don't want to hear it again. I'm like, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
So they were believers. They walked out of there knowing what the experience that they had, what little experience that they had, they knew something was not right, right?
Yeah. I told Zach, I said, listen, I got to take that back from you. You cannot have my sight all the time because it will drive you crazy. It will give you nightmares, all kinds of things. And he wasn't sure what he wanted to do at that time. I said, listen, yeah, call me. I'll get rid of it. So I went upstairs to the lobby and was getting ready to leave when he said, you know, the producer said, Zach's outside. He wants you to take it from him. He wants you to take the vision from him. I'm like, okay. They're like, wait a minute. We need to mic you up. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So at that time, he took his glove off. He was wearing his glove before with the fingers cut out. And he took it off and said, take this from me. And I'm like, okay. And that's why he tweeted out afterwards that he would never be the same, that he would never forget this place.
That's,
was he okay afterwards?
Incredible.
Yeah, he's okay, but it's something, when you see these things in their true form, it's something that you don't ever forget. It's like, you know, it's pure evil. You just, it's beyond description. And like,
do
I tell people, I can't.
June, that a lot of times when you see all these paranormal, you know, teams go out for the thrills and everything, do you find that it's not for the right good, the highest good? I mean, you know, people, you know, like you help add value to other people's lives. And when you get somebody who wants to go for the thrill of it and brag, oh, I saw a demon or I saw a djinn or whatever, you know, it's so rampant. You go on TV and you see nothing but, you know, Travel Channel. You see nothing but one show after another about hauntings and things like that.
Oh, yeah. The trouble is, you know, if you go out for the greater good, yes, it's good. You know, and another piece of advice I could give is if you ever come across anything like this, don't try to deal with it yourself. Find somebody like me that knows what to do to help. Don't try to deal with it. So many people try to deal with it themselves, and then they pay the price. You know, and I tell them, you know, don't provoke. For God's sake, if you think you have something negative in there, don't provoke, because they will make your life a nightmare. That's why if some people think, you know, the people tell me when they contact me, well, I think I have a negative because, you know, I tried to sage it. I'm like, oh, shoot. Don't sage it. If it's a negative, you'll just piss it off. And they tell me, yeah, that's exactly what happened. It got worse. I'm like, yeah, because they know you're trying to get rid of them. They don't want to, you know, they're pissed. Don't do it.
What about Indians that are haunted on the land that are unsettled? What do you suggest for people like that when they're dealing with the land that is, you know, haunted or so-called haunted?
Yeah. What I do is I sit down and I talk to them. I'm of Cherokee and Apache lineage. And in a past life, I was a shaman. So I tell them, you know, I sit down and I talk to them. Tell them, you know, find out what their concerns are and, you know, address their concerns about the land or what's happening. And that's the best way to do it, is to sit down and talk to them, you know, if you can. If you can't, then get somebody that can talk to them, you know, they because they're people. They just need you to sit down and talk to them.
Hmm. Well, June, we're just about out of time.
Well, this is what I have noticed, and I channel certain things with the natives. I live on sacred ground and blah, blah, blah. But what I've noticed about the natives, and you are exactly right, is communicating, but they don't like disrespect. They feel that they're being disrespected. The land is being disrespected. And
of
that's
course.
Sometimes why they have problems. They go into the homes or go into people, you know.
Yeah, they're trying to tell them, you know, look what you're doing to the land. You know, you have to live in harmony with the land. You don't need to chop it up, dig it up, you know, abuse it.
A lot of it is that. It's respect. The place that we live is sacred, and being able to respect and honor them, acknowledge them and honor them. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we're just I just know that I don't want to be around any negative spirits, and just thinking about it creeps me out. But we are just about out of time. So, June, now how can people contact you? Do you have a website or are you on social media?
Yeah, both. It's Mystic Connections, all one word, .org, O-R-G, or it's June Lundgren on Facebook.
Very cool. I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. It's been very educational, very interesting and scary subject. But thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Thank you, June. You were wonderful. Would love to have you back one of these days.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
You too.
Very educational. There's so much, and you hear from people that have, you know, dealt with it all the time and everything. It's a wonderful. It's wonderful to have somebody to know what they're talking about and being able to share their experience and their knowledge with our people. So it's great.
Absolutely. You know, the subject always does kind of creep me out, so I'm probably going to end up sleeping with one eye open. It usually takes me a day or two to recover. I have a really active imagination.
Well, you remember how you were saying that you have one corner that's, you know, kind of give you the hippie-jibby anyway?
I don't even want to think about
it. Take June's advice and burn sage.
I've got to walk out of my living space, and I have to go upstairs. You know, I live in a basement, and I'm creeped out about just how – I don't even want to go upstairs because I'm going to be looking behind myself now. But I'll survive.
Well, I'm going to say this. I have bought from June personally one of her necklaces, and I have to say it's one of my favorite pieces. I just love. I'm very contemporary anyway with my taste, and I like simple things. And I did buy a piece, and it was just. I got to say, it's a beautiful piece. She had it made. It's made out of some herbs and things, black salt, all kinds of things. And, you know, when I'm doing a big show or, you know, doing something that I'm exposed with a lot of people, and most of the time I do remember, I wear it. It's beautiful. I love the piece. And, you know, it's not just that, but it just gives you added assurance that you know you're going to be okay. So, but it's not a thing that it's going to be do or die. I'm not going to live without it, or I'm not going to be protected if I don't wear it. I just love the piece, so. But next week, we're going to have Eric Mitchell. Eric's going to come back, and we're going to talk about anything. I mean, Eric has been an abductee and a true abductee, and We're going to talk about maybe his experience. We're going to talk about raising our consciousness. It's been a long time since we've had Eric Mitchell back, so we're going to have him next Sunday.
Very cool. Well, unless you have anything else, Sherry, we can close her out. I want to thank everybody for listening this evening, and thanks to June Lundgren for coming on. And we'll see everybody next Sunday at p.m. West Coast time for another episode. And please give us a like on Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And with that, I bid you adieu. Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys. Thank you for supporting us. Peace.